your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look at me. Dare to go beyond skin deep. Take another look and see I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. I am so beautiful.
Good afternoon and welcome to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with your host, Doris Smeltzer. What does it mean to truly love the skin you're in? Keep listening and find out. Now, here's your host, Doris Smeltzer.
Welcome. As our theme song insists, you and I and our phenomenal guests will dare to go beyond skin deep. Every week, we're going to discover what it means to savor ourselves as we learn how to wake up to our true being, the self within that is radiant and perfect right this minute. My journey of waking up to this truth began when our 19-year-old daughter, Andrea, died of bulimia after just over 1 year of bulimic behaviors. You would not be listening to me today if it were not for all that I've learned because of Andrea. Hence, it is only right that she play a vital role in this show. Throughout our weeks together, you will be given glimpses of her through brief quotes from her writings, her musings on life, if you will. Even though Andrea died 8.5 years ago, she helped me determine the title of this show. In one of the poems written near the end of her life, she transmutes her loneliness for one evening through an appreciation of self. She looks to the silent constellations in the sky as she writes, "Soft, soft skin, smells of honey. Build your cocoon and rock yourself to peace. Savor yourself, your softness as hard as packed snow melting in the sun. Kiss the stars and hug yourself and sleep in the bosom of your own endless song." Each of us has our own endless song, our life's story. So it feels right to open our show with a very special guest whose story will inspire, teach, and give hope. Let me introduce to you someone who, since we met 4 years ago, has become a dear friend, our guest, Mary Ellen Clausen of Liverpool, New York. Let me tell you just a little bit about Mary Ellen. She is widely recognized as an innovative leader in eating disorder prevention, education, and advocacy. While her two daughters struggled with eating disorders, her family experienced the severe lack of eating disorder resources. Because of this experience and through Mary Ellen's vision, Ophelia's Place, a center that opened in her hometown in 2002, now offers support, encouragement, and hope, a safe haven to those impacted by eating disorders. You can find them on the web at Ophelia'sPlace.org. Welcome, Mary Ellen.
Well, thank you, Doris. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be, and a lot of pressure to be your first guest, I got to tell you.
I so understand, and I thank you so much for having the courage to do this with me.
Oh, you are so welcome.
On your website, Mary Ellen, you ask visitors to come join the Revolution for Change. Tell us about this revolution.
Well, I think what we are asking our visitors to do, Doris, is something very intentional, to be part of a movement, to begin to believe that things can be different, that we don't need to. Actually, we can't live up to the standards that society has set for us. It's unrealistic. So what we've done is we've put together a pledge, and we encourage people to go on, download that pledge, post it in your work, your home, on the refrigerator, and it consists of four components to it. And one is to revolutionize yourself. Ask yourself, you know, what is my obsession with thinness? What is it costing me? And whose expectation of beauty am I trying to live up to? Am I listening to what my body needs? Does size really matter? Why do I measure my self-worth by the numbers on a scale or the size of my clothes? And what can you do about that? You know, buy clothes that fit you today. Throw away your scale. Rethink the magazines that you buy and read. Ask people how they're feeling instead of commenting on how they look. Take the focus off appearance. We're asking them to revolutionize your workplace, to stop the diet talk, to tell someone if you or a colleague is suffering, to offer support, extend a hand, put a plan of action together, really begin to challenge the dialogue that takes place in the workplace. We're asking them to revolutionize the family. Are you asking your children if they look fat? Are you constantly talking, if you look fat, like for yourself? I had to think a lot about the behaviors I modeled for my children. Was I constantly talking about appearance and weight and size? And mm-hmm. how many times did I say, you know, does this outfit make me look fat? And those are, it's destructive, and our children are hearing what we are saying. So we're asking them to change that dialogue at the home. Listen to what our children are saying. Emphasize the importance of who they are and not what they look like. And then finally, revolutionize your community. Give back to your community. Become a mentor, a volunteer. Use your resources, whether it's through financial support or maybe it's just through talent and skills. So we really are all about kind of creating this movement, this groundswell of encouraging people to think differently.
That is amazing. I love your suggestions. A couple of them just, you know, jump at me. Mm-hmm. Throw away your scale.
Yes.
That is so huge. You know, you really to have to ask yourself, why do I weigh myself? And, you know, when I asked myself, I had to come up with the idea that, you know, the only reason I ever need to be weighed is if I'm going under major surgery and I want to be sure they get the amount of anesthesia correct for my body size. But otherwise, neither I nor my doctor ever need to know my weight. You know, it's just, it's something we don't question.
We don't.
And really
I think it's like wearing a scale around your neck. I mean, it's that it can, for some people, it can make or break your day. Why give something that much power over you? So get rid of it.
Yes.
Yes, we actually had one young woman bring hers in, and she destroyed it with a sledgehammer, which was pretty powerful.
And I imagine slightly messy, but...
A little bit.
But it made the point.
And it's amazing how much it takes to actually destroy a scale.
Oh, now see, I didn't... I threw mine in the trash, so I really, you know, I didn't go through any of those efforts, but I sure encourage our listeners to figure out a way, even if just tossing it in the trash. You do not have to beat it up with a sledgehammer, but to get rid of... that bathroom scale, there's no need for it.
No.
So tell me, Mary Ellen, what was your family's response to your efforts to start this revolution? How were they affected?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think I might need to go back a little bit in time before I can truly answer that. And when our family was diagnosed with an eating disorder, and I say our family because it truly, even though it was my older daughter that was diagnosed first, it truly impacted our entire family. And that was almost 10 years ago. And boy, our world was turned upside down and inside out. The depth of the struggle and the pain was more than I could bear alone anyways. And I had, you know, reached this point where I had exhausted all of my emotional resources, and I had come to the end of my very frayed rope. And so as I let go, I had cried out, and it sounds so cliche, I know, but I really, it was about letting go and letting God. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, at the time, I got to tell you, I was pretty sure he didn't catch me. And boy, let me tell you, I hit hard. Yeah. I hit hard again and again. And for me, I realized that faith isn't just something that shows up one day and makes sense out of everything. And so I needed to go continuously. I needed to let go continuously the old way of doing things, which was not easy for me. And I like control, and I like the comfort of routine. But eventually I figured out in order for my faith to grow, I needed to burn that stupid frayed rope, which is not easy to do. I kept picking it up and holding on to it and believing. Instead of picking it up and holding on to it, I needed to believe that there was a purpose in all of this, and it was much bigger than me. So, what was my family's response to all of this? Well, all of this, being that 4 years after I let go of the rope, the vision of Ophelia's place came to be, and I believe that their response was not unlike mine. You know, we believed that we needed to share our resources and to create a place that we could reach out to others and to fill this gap that existed in the community, and we all believed that it was the right thing to do. You know, we couldn't look the other way, so we made it a conscious choice. And I think that's the easy question, Doris. I think the more difficult one is how they were affected. How long is the show?
Well, we have 2 minutes until we have to go to break, so okay. I don't want you to try to do it in 2 minutes.
Okay.
So, you know, you can get started with how they were affected, and we can continue after break.
Okay. Well, I think they all made sacrifices, my daughters, my husband. You know, I knew in my heart that this is what I was supposed to do. You know, and by association, they have been right there alongside of me. Their struggles, their recoveries, they've all been shared out loud. You know, I forget daily, and my husband tries to remind me, I forget daily that my husband has a job, and, you know, I expect him to respond to every need that I have here at Ophelia's Place, from the light to the heat to the snow removal. Remember, we're in the East Coast. leaky roof. You know, I just call him up. He's the maintenance man. He's pretty much the jack of all trades here. And, you know, he endures endless conversations with me about the daily struggles of running a nonprofit on a shoestring budget. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's probably a question that you should ask them. So I'm pretty sure I could probably wrap it up before break. And I often think maybe I should ask them, but I'm not sure I want to know what their response is going to be to that.
Okay, and I'm looking, and I realize that we only have, I think, about 15 seconds left.
Okay.
So
okay.
What we'll do is take a break and return with more from Mary Ellen.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
On Soul Mind Body Medicine, Dr. Zia Gong Sha teaches a breakthrough soul healing system that empowers people to heal themselves and to heal others. Each week, learn new soul healing wisdom, knowledge, and practice that will transform your life. Dr. Sha offers listeners his personal remote soul healing during each show, Soul Mind Body Medicine with Dr. Zia Gong Sha. Broadcast every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
With thousands of homes destroyed or damaged by fire, lots of people are wondering what to do next. If you are a wildfire survivor, SoCalHelp.org can help you find support and decide what to do, right now, wherever you are. This easy-to-use website is a place you can go to get immediate help with food, shelter, and important medications, and start getting your life back on track. Get help now with insurance, legal issues, and find professional services like doctors and counselors. You can access contact information for national agencies, hotlines, and services that have the resources you need. You can also connect with other survivors and people who can help. For the answers and support you need to rebuild, visit SoCalHelp.org.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Okay, Mary Ellen, right before we went to break, you were getting started on how your family was affected and talking about your husband. I mean, just with him, the things that were going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has, and again, I think they've all been affected deeply by this. I don't think we knew. I'm pretty sure we didn't know. I don't think we had any idea how the need that there truly was in the community. I often say that this really isn't anything that we've done. It's just we were just kind of being a voice for many. And so I'm pretty sure we all thought 4 or 5 years ago that this would probably be something that I would do part-time, you know, and that it wouldn't take on a whole life of its own. And it has. So I have no doubt they have all been affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In different ways.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most important things that you've learned from this experience? What you comprehend now that you wish you'd understood back when your daughters first began their struggles?
Wow. You know, I've learned so much, Doris, and I continue to learn daily. I've learned there's no blueprint, there's no quick fix, there's no one-size-fits-all. I've learned that this disease is deadly, that it has its own identity. You know, I learned early on that this disease can destroy a family. I learned that the struggles, although great, can certainly become opportunities for me to grow and for us, you know, as a family to choose to grow together. I've learned that recovery is possible. It's a process. It's hard. The struggle is great. It's worth it. You know, I recently spoke of recovery for a conference in Corning, and my husband couldn't be there, and so I was interested. I said to him, tell me, what would you say about your experience of recovery? And since he couldn't be there, he wrote it down for me, and I'd like to share it with you today, Doris, if I may.
Absolutely.
This is what he says. He says, when you asked me to describe what recovery looks like to me, the first thought I had was, how can you expect me to describe recovery from an illness that so often defies description? But there was a couple of words that came to my mind, acceptance and enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Acceptance in that, while this is a disease that can be beaten, it is like no other. You can treat it into remission, like cancer, but it never really goes away. I learned that people didn't talk about being cured. They talked about being in recovery, mostly in terms of time. I've been in recovery for 10 years or 2 years or whatever. I needed to get used to it. Once I did, recovery, at least for me as a parent, started to look something tangible to me. Up to that point, I think all I wanted was for things to be normal again. Mm-hmm. You know, like after you've had some surgery and complete the recovery process until things are normal again. Enlightenment. I think that happened when I finally was able to accept that our lives had taken on a new version of normal. It made me realize that I really had no idea of what normal was. And in the big scheme of things, what I used to think was normal really wasn't all that important to begin with. I still don't think I know very much about this disease. And he says, you'd think something would have rubbed off on me by now, wouldn't you? But I do know that in spite of how we as a family have been impacted, each of us has grown in some way from the experience. In spite of my prayers, my conversations with God, which are usually at the most inopportune times, my ranting and raving about how much I hate all of it, I've come to realize that we as a family have been pushed, pulled, stretched, and had our faith tested, sometimes beyond our limits. And God continues to provide. That drives the recovery for all of us. So who am I to complain? I thought that was pretty powerful coming from this man who has just not often shares his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Acceptance and enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really difficult to accept, especially without judgment, without wanting to go to that place of let's get back to normal.
Yes.
And so, in essence, what I'm telling you is the way you are right now is absolutely not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want it.
Right.
And
right. And I think realizing that back to normal was not where we wanted to be because normal wasn't working.
Exactly. That, for me, was, I think, the biggest learning. Sadly, our daughter, you know, died before I could have that realization while she was alive.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after her death that I realized that my daughter's illness was just a signal. It wasn't, oh, that's interesting that I would say my daughter's illness, because it wasn't my daughter's illness. It was our family's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an indicator. It was a signpost that was saying to us, the way you've been in relationship with each other,
mm-hmm.
It's no longer effective.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to mm-hmm. change. And I couldn't get that while she was here. And I thought that the bulimia was hers. And what I realize now is it was ours. And it was just something that as a family, we needed to work through together and build new ways of being in relationship with each other.
Mm. Yes.
So, how did you come to realize that your daughters were struggling? What clues told you something wasn't right?
Well, I think with my older daughter, it was easier. It was physical signs and behaviors were there, and there was a clear diagnosis shortly after she had gone off to college. I think with my younger daughter, it was much harder. I believed that my younger daughter was following suit and, you know, emulating her older sister, and so I thought that's where that came from. And what we realized is with our younger daughter that the behavior, we had normalized it. When she was finally diagnosed, when she was close to 16, she was compromised at that point. And I remember at the end of that day when she'd first gotten the diagnosis that she had said to me, she was very sad, and she said, "Mom, I don't remember my life before my eating disorder." And I said, "Explain to me, what does that mean?" And she said, "Well, I remember being in elementary school and making a decision at some level that I felt like I couldn't be maybe perhaps the prettiest or the smartest or the most athletic, but I was bound and determined I was going to be the smallest."
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, all these light bulbs started to go off in my head, hindsight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back and I'm thinking, wow, I would get phone calls from the nurse's office on a weekly basis that Holly was struggling with headaches or stomach aches or she passed out in school. And nowhere on there did I look at the food piece of it. Nowhere did I look at the fact that she was she was compromised nutritionally.
Mm-hmm.
We all wanted to look at the physical signs and not the emotional or psychological piece of it. And so when she went through screening after screening of attempting to identify, because I kept saying, "I believe this child has an eating disorder at 14 or 15 or 16, and she didn't, there was no red flags of warning that went up because we had normalized all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd normalized that she was a picky eater, or that she didn't need much to live on. And so that was very much a challenge for us as a family to accept that. And the sad thing is that she had a very small window and not a lot of reserve. So when she finally was diagnosed, she was very compromised.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell other families when we talk about that is that we've got to look beyond just the black and white signs of this disease. We've got to look way beyond that.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. So, given what you know today, is there anything you'd change about how you initially responded?
Whenever people ask me what I would do differently, I always say I would listen harder. You know, I believed that my children were broken and hurting, and I believed that I could fix them. You know, I think that's what, you know, I think as a mom, when you have a newborn, you know, you can identify all of their cries. You know if it's a hungry cry or a wet cry or a painful cry. And then all of a sudden as they start to get older and, you know, you can't necessarily diagnose everything. And so then, you know, the doctor and the pediatrician come into play and you trust what they are saying. And so all of a sudden this disease impacts us. And I thought that I would, okay, if this is the problem, then I need to come up with a solution and I will take them and get them fixed. And I think oftentimes there were times that they would try to express their feelings and talk through. And I would say, you know, I was constantly saying, don't be sad, don't be angry, you know, don't cry. Well, I wasn't giving them any place to put all of those feelings. Mm-hmm. So I think I would absolutely listen harder, you know, and look for those teachable moments and those times that, even if it's just a few stolen moments here and there where I could really hear what they were saying, and what they were, I mean, the disorder, there was a period that worked for them. It was a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to grasp, to wrap your brain around, that could be something that could help them cope. And so I feel like we as a parent, you know, I had a responsibility to give them healthy coping mechanisms. And I don't spend a lot of time in blame or guilt. I spend a lot of time trying to just to learn and to respond differently now. You know, Doris, I think what was a huge turning point in our lives was when I first heard you and Tom speak 4 years ago.
I'm going to ask you to hold that for just a moment,
okay.
Only because we need to go to another break, and I want you to have time to talk about that as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask our listeners to please don't go away, because the best is yet to come.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Painful feet can affect our ability to enjoy the most basic activities in our daily lives, like walking your dog or cleaning your house, not to mention any physical activities you engage in. Thankfully, Dr. Larry Skor brings to Voice America Health and Wellness Channel timely advice and resources to get you back on your feet and feeling great. Don't miss There's No Business Like Toe Business every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself, Beyond Skin Deep, with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Mary Ellen, I had to interrupt you. I apologize.
No problem.
If you could just recap where we were.
Oh, sure. Leave that up to me.
You were just talking. Now, see, because you were talking about me, I remember. You had just said that that it was when you first heard Tom.
Yes.
And our presentation.
When we were probably into the eating disorders world at that point for 5 years, and I had gone, we had driven a couple of hours, and it was, I believe it was February, and there was a lot of snow, which in the East Coast, it could be, you know, any time from November to May that could be the case.
Yeah. But actually, I think it was storming that night.
I think it probably was.
I think it was.
And so we drove up to out to Buffalo, and I heard yours and Tom's presentation. It's the first time I had heard it, and it was, you know, Andrea's words, and it was, I was so moved, and it was such a powerful presentation, and I felt during that time that there was more that I could do, and I had learned so much from you and Tom, and what you had learned in a very short period of time with Andrea. And so you really, what happened is, I believe you really gave me permission to be even more aggressive with this disease. And I remember, I remember driving back, and I remember you speaking so much of the fears that I had never spoken before. And so a couple of things happened. One, it was wonderful to connect with you and to connect with Tom and to find somebody that knew what I was going through. I hated your loss. I was angry over Andrea dying. I couldn't understand that, and I still don't understand that. I know that, and I need to say this, I know that Andrea has touched so many lives across this country and beyond. I mean, I think she has a worldwide reach, and for that, I will forever be grateful that you and Tom have committed to share her to so many people that need to hear those words, and so I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for the friendship that has developed, and for the fact that I really do believe that you gave me permission to confront and to deal with this head on. And so I drastically changed how I approached my daughters from that point forward. It wasn't that whole, I think oftentimes I would get into that, I'm powerless to fix, you know, coming to that place of feeling that sense of powerlessness. And so what happened is that I said, I said to both of my daughters, I'm absolutely powerless to fix you, but I'm not powerless to be your voice. Mm-hmm. And so we're in this together. And from that point on, we would have a plan. We would have a plan on how we were going to deal with this. And it was very powerful. And I'm pretty relentless. Mm-hmm. I was not going to back away from that. And so with both of my daughters, we would sit down and we would outline that plan. And that was a huge, huge turning point in our journey. And I so thank you and Tom for your willingness to be able to put yourself out there. I know what it takes. I know the cost. And it is difficult. It is trying. But I so appreciate that you have shared so much of Andrea. And I believe that believe that because of Andrea, both of my daughters have survived. And that's a tough thing to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I don't understand why Andrea died, and I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So it's very complex for me. Mm-hmm. The contrast is great, and yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for those words. I loved how a couple of things you said. You mentioned how you would listen more. That is something, boy, if I could do it again, not only would I listen more, but I would listen differently. I would listen without judgment.
Judgment, yes.
That is so hard, mm-hmm. but that's what I would do today. I would listen without judgment. And another thing that you stated that is so important is that eating disorders, and you mentioned how difficult it is to wrap our heads around this, but eating disorders are coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
They truly, for the individual who suffers, an eating disorder is their lifeline. It mm-hmm. is how they survive.
And yet it's the very thing that can kill them.
Exactly. It is such a conundrum, because it is what they feel
is saving them, and yet, at the same time, the behaviors are killing the body. And it's whenever Tom and I speak, I always say, eating disorders are terminal. Without treatment, they will kill. If not the body, then most certainly the soul. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, you know, people just, the general public, just they just don't know. They don't get that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the focus of your work is shifting a little bit, and I would love to hear about the new focus and why the shift.
Well, when we began back in 2002, when this vision started taking place, and it really started taking place, my younger daughter had just come back from treatment. She had spent the first 4.5 months of her senior year of high school in a treatment program, and when she had come back, she was in between semesters of her senior year. She had 3 weeks of downtime, and she had said to me, "Mom, I really wish that there was a place that I could go to that, you know, could kind of, that could hone my recovery skills, that would provide support." And so as we started talking about all that, I said, "What would that place look like?" And she said, "Well, it would be a safe place. It would be a place where I know I wasn't alone. It would be a place where I could maybe just process after a tough therapy session, or if I was having a bad day, somebody could sit with me." So we began that. That's when that vision really began, and we started to develop all of that. And we didn't know if it was a need in the community or if it was just our own family's personal need. Mm-hmm. So we held an open house. A week before the open house, we put out a flyer in a free publication, and we asked people if they had any interest, if they knew anybody that struggled, if they struggled, to show up, and we just wanted to have some conversation with them. Well, that night, Dora, 75 people came.
Wow.
We then knew that it was a need in the community. So we started to begin to develop what all of that looked like and, you know, started to go through what it takes to create a 501c3. I'm not even sure I knew what that was.
And, you know, I hear you there.
Yeah, really, and all of the logistics involved in it all. And I think, again, I really do think I believed this was just going to be something I was going to do part-time out of my house. And, of course, I had worked for my brother at the time, and that then just became a place for me to really work Ophelia's place. And so until he finally caught on one day and said, "Hey, sis, we got to talk here." So we ended up getting our first office. And, again, it's now 2008, right? So that really began 6 years ago, and it developed. And what we found in the very beginning was that we ended up becoming a place that was almost a crisis center. People didn't know where to go. They had heard our story. They wanted support. They wanted to reach out. And we ended up just kind of responding to this overwhelming crisis. And so what happened is there were very few resources in Central New York at the time. And I started lobbying on a federal level, on a state level for mental health parity, became this activist, which I wasn't even sure I knew what an activist was. And so got really involved in all of that. And legislatively, there was some legislation was created back in 2004 to create centers in New York State and called the Comprehensive Care Centers. And so really, we now fast forward to where we're at today. In 2008, there are now 3 centers that exist in New York State. There are various levels of treatment programs that exist within a 2-hour drive, which is wonderful, and we're really grateful for all of that. And what that's done for us is that's now allowed us to shift a little bit of our focus, because...
Hold on to that thought just for a second.
I can do
that. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you? Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens?
Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place to meet?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness. The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Betsy Hicks, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Betsy offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders, such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, adult services, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Mary Ellen, you were just telling us how your focus is shifting.
Again, I'm so glad you remember that every time we go off to break. Yes, the focus has, and we're excited about it. And I think, I think we often say that the eating disorder is the commonality. It's what brings people through the door. But it's really so much, what Ophelia's Place does is so much more than that. We're about community and about a connectedness. And now that there are so many great resources within our state and so much available, we still have a long ways to go, but we've come a long ways. And so now that there are treatment programs that exist, it's allowed us to shift that focus. And so some of the things that we're doing here is we're trying to move beyond the eating disorder piece, recognizing, the significance of it and the role that it plays in it, but, doing things that are more along the lines of the circles, the community type, whether it's through support groups or through book clubs or through education and outreach, and really focusing on taking being intentional about this life that we live.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, there you can use that and you can use your struggles and you can reach out to others, but we really want to go beyond that. I mean, we're doing, programs in the schools that that can talk, that to try to step in that gap that exists. You know, our children are hurting. There was a huge article in our paper this week about the rate of suicide among teens. And, you know, they're hurting and they're broken. And, you know, what I believe our response to that can be, and the place that we provide here, is that we can then open up an evening where we can invite teens in and we can do coffee houses and we can just, you know, connect and have dialogue. And that's what we need. We learn and we just long for that relational piece, and so we're able to do things beyond that. We talk all the time about doing things a little outside the box or color outside the lines or whatever phrase that you want to use. You know, we're starting we have a fashion show in a couple of weeks that we're kicking off, and it's called Revolutionizing the Runway, and it's just this radical kind of a radical event that we're doing. And every time we do an event, it's another opportunity to raise awareness. It's another opportunity to get people to step forward. And because we don't have to respond to just the crisis anymore, we can move beyond that. And so we're excited about all of the possibilities in that.
That sounds so exciting. Now, you mentioned you have a fashion show.
We do have a fashion show
coming up. For anyone who's listening from your area, when is that? Where is that?
We are in Liverpool. We are right in central New York, right outside of Syracuse.
Okay. And if they wanted to get more information, they could go to your website?
They absolutely could go to our website at opheliasplace.org.
Very good. Yeah. Now, you said that it's radical. The fashion show is radical.
How is
it radical?
Because we are challenging the definition of what beauty is. And we are asking people to go to our blog and to tell us in their words what is beauty, what is real, what is fashion. The fashion show, many of the models are from Ophelia's Place. They are all different shapes and sizes. It's all about diversity. It's all about health and wellness. It's about just really and truly challenging what culture and society says that beauty is. So we're really, really excited about that. And we have a choice. We really have a choice to make. And I think for a long time, I think, for me anyways, I didn't think I had a choice. I thought, well, this is what I need. This is what I need it to look like. This is what I need to be because society says this is what it needs to be. And I think we are all about trying to create a movement. And I see more and more organizations and more people doing that, saying, you know what, we don't have to take this. We don't have to stand for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is unrealistic, the expectations. So we are really encouraging people to stand up for what they believe in, and to begin to use their voice and challenge it all. So we're excited.
it just sounds like precisely the kind of thing that needs to happen. I wish it were happening in every community across the nation. Numerous times throughout our talk, you've mentioned voice.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point you said, you know, I may not be able to fix my daughters, but I can be their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why. What makes voice so important when dealing with eating disorders?
Well, and from what I've learned and from what others that have been so courageous and brave to share their thoughts with me in regards to all of that, I think oftentimes what they've told me is the voice of the eating disorder is the loudest. And so they hear that. And so I think my role as their mom was to be the voice of reason, to be the voice of to challenge the eating disorder's voice,
mm-hmm.
to be able to separate the two, to be able to distinguish the two, I think is really important in this recovery process. And I think a key part to recovery is trusting the support people that you have in place, trusting that they will use their voice, that they will speak the truth when you can't always distinguish between those voices.
Oh, that is so important. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen, tell us, how do you favor yourself?
You know, I first heard God's voice many years ago when I was driving across country to see one of my daughters in treatment. It was when I had, you know, let go of that rope. And I had heard it through Psalm 46:10. It's, be still, Mary Ellen, and know that I am God. Those are the moments I savor. I savor the true stillness of when I can touch my faith and feel God's presence. You know, I savor the memories of those moments, and I savor the hope of those yet to come. So that's how I savor myself.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen. You are what this show is all about, savoring ourselves as we dare to go beyond skin deep. Mm. And thank you for listening. Next week's show is entitled Getting Turned On to Life Again. Our guest is Carolyn Costin, and besides being a top-notch therapist in the treating of eating disorders for over 25 years, Carolyn is a well-known national speaker and author of numerous books. Her vast experience is going to jumpstart all of our getting turned on to life again in a real meaningful and soulful way. Carolyn's books are The Eating Disorder Sourcebook and Your Dieting Daughter, as well as 100 Questions and Answers About Eating Disorders. If you have questions for Carolyn Costin, or comments for me, or questions that you have for Mary Ellen, because we needed to pre-record this show, so we're not doing it live when you hear us, but if you have questions for Mary Ellen, please email me at doris@savoryourself.org. So, Mary Ellen, is there any last-minute thing we have? You can have 30 seconds, and then I'm going to take 30 seconds to just wind up with Andrea's words. Anything remaining you need to say?
I think the only thing that I would say is I love the title, Savor Yourself, Daring to Go Beyond Skin Deep. I think that's what it's about. It's about being raw. It's about being real. It's about being authentic. And I think that's what it's all about. And I so appreciate what you're doing with all of this, Doris. And it truly is a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, dear friend. Thank you. Let us close with Andrea's opening words that instructed us to savor yourself, your softness, as hard as packed snow melting in the sun. Kiss the stars and hug yourself and sleep in the bosom of your own endless song. Until next week, remember to savor yourself.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
We appreciate you spending this hour with Doris Smeltzer and Savor Yourself. If you would like to learn more about eating disorder prevention, visit our site at andreasvoice.org. That's andreasvoice.org. And be sure to tune in next week for more valuable tips on how to dare to go beyond skin deep and to truly savor yourself. We'll see you next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Health and Wellness Channel.
Me to really work Ophelia's place, and so until he finally caught on one day and said, "Hey, sis, we got to talk here." So we ended up getting our first office, and again, it was probably It's now 2008, right? So I think that really began 6 years ago, and it developed. And what we found in the very beginning was that we ended up becoming a place that was almost a crisis center. People didn't know where to go. They had heard our story. They wanted support. They wanted to reach out. And we ended up just kind of responding to this overwhelming crisis. And so what happened is there were very few resources in Central New York at the time. And I started lobbying on a federal level, on a state level for mental health parity, became this activist, which I wasn't even sure I knew what an activist was. And so got really involved in all of that. And legislatively, there was some legislation was created back in 2004 to create centers in New York State and called the Comprehensive Care Centers. And so really, we now fast forward to where we're at today. In 2008, there are now three centers that exist in New York State. There are various levels of treatment programs that exist within a two-hour drive, which is wonderful, and we're really grateful for all of that. And what that's done for us is that's now allowed us to shift a little bit of our focus, because...
Hold on to that thought just for a second.
I can do
that. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom? If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me? Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place to meet?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work? Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness. The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Betsy Hicks, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Betsy offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders, such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, adult services, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Mary Ellen, you were just telling us how your focus is shifting.
Again, I'm so glad you remember that every time we go off to break. Yes, the focus has, and we're excited about it. And I think, I think we often say that the eating disorder is the commonality. It's what brings people through the door. But it's really so much, what Ophelia's Place does is so much more than that. We're about community and about a connectedness. And now that there are so many great resources within our state and so much available, we still have a long ways to go, but we've come a long ways. And so now that there are treatment programs that exist, it's allowed us to shift that focus. And so some of the things that we're doing here is we're trying to move beyond the eating disorder piece, recognizing the significance of it and the role that it plays in it, but doing things that are more along the lines of the circles, the community type, whether it's through support groups or through book clubs or through education and outreach, and really focusing on taking being intentional about this life that we live.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, there, you can use that and you can use your struggles and you can reach out to others, but we really want to go beyond that. I mean, we're doing, programs in the schools that can talk, that to try to step in that gap that exists. Our children are hurting. There was a huge article in our paper this week about the rate of suicide among teens, and they're hurting and they're broken. And what I believe our response to that can be, and the place that we provide here, is that we can then open up an evening where we can invite teens in, and we can do coffee houses, and we can just connect and have dialogue, and that's what we need. We learn, and we just long for that relational piece, and so we're able to do things beyond that. We talk all the time about doing things a little outside the box or color outside the lines or whatever phrase that you want to use. We're starting. We have a fashion show in a couple of weeks that we're kicking off, and it's called Revolutionizing the Runway, and it's just this radical. Kind of a radical event that we're doing. And every time we do an event, it's another opportunity to raise awareness. It's another opportunity to get people to step forward. And because we don't have to respond to just the crisis anymore, we can move beyond that. And so we're excited about all of the possibilities in that.
That sounds so exciting. Now, you mentioned you have a fashion show.
We do have a fashion show
coming up. For anyone who's listening from your area, when is that? Where is that?
We are in Liverpool. We are right in central New York, right outside of Syracuse.
Okay. And if they wanted to get more information, they could go to your website?
They absolutely could go to our website at opheliasplace.org.
Very good. Yeah. Now, you said that it's radical. The fashion show is radical.
How is
it radical?
Because we are challenging the definition of what beauty is. And we are asking people to go to our blog and to tell us in their words what is beauty, what is real, what is fashion. The fashion show, many of the models are from Ophelia's Place. They are all different shapes and sizes. It's all about diversity. It's all about health and wellness. It's about just really and truly challenging what culture and society says that beauty is. So we're really, really excited about that. And we have a choice. We really have a choice to make. And I think for a long time, I think, for me anyways, I didn't think I had a choice. I thought, well, this is what I need. this is what I need it to look like. This is what I need to be because society says this is what it needs to be. And I think we are all about trying to create a movement. And I think, and I see more and more organizations and more people doing that, saying, you know what, we don't have to take this. We don't have to stand for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is unrealistic, the expectations. We are really encouraging people to stand up for what they believe in, and to begin to use their voice and challenge it all. So we're excited.
it just sounds like precisely the kind of thing that needs to happen. I wish it were happening in every community across the nation. Numerous times throughout our talk, you've mentioned voice.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point you said, I may not be able to fix my daughters, but I can be their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why. What makes voice so important when dealing with eating disorders?
Well, and from what I've learned and from what others that have been so courageous and brave to share their thoughts with me in regards to all of that, I think oftentimes what they've told me is the voice of the eating disorder is the loudest. And so they hear that. And so I think my role as their mom was to be the voice of reason, to be the voice of, to challenge that. To challenge the eating disorder's voice,
mm-hmm.
to be able to separate the two, to be able to distinguish the two, I think is really important in this recovery process. And I think a key part to recovery is trusting the support people that you have in place, trusting that they will use their voice, that they will speak the truth when you can't always distinguish between those voices.
Oh, that is so important. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen, tell us, how do you savor yourself?
Wow. You know, I first heard God's voice many years ago when I was driving across country to see one of my daughters in treatment. It was when I had, let go of that rope. And I had heard it through Psalm 46:10. It's, "Be still. Be still, Mary Ellen, and know that I am God." Those are the moments I savor. I savor the true stillness of when I can touch my faith and feel God's presence. You know, I savor the memories of those moments, and I savor the hope of those yet to come. So that's how I savor myself.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen.
Thank you
are
so
what
much.
The show is all about, savoring ourselves as we dare to go beyond skin deep.
Mm.
And thank you for listening. Next week's show is entitled Getting Turned On to Life Again. Our guest is Carolyn Costin, and besides being a top-notch therapist in the treating of eating disorders for over 25 years, Carolyn is a well-known national speaker and author of numerous books. Her vast experience is going to jumpstart all of our getting turned on to life again in a real meaningful and soulful way. Carolyn's books are The Eating Disorder Sourcebook and Your Dieting Daughter, as well as 100 Questions and Answers About Eating Disorders. If you have questions for Carolyn Costin or comments for me or questions that you have for Mary Ellen, because we needed to pre-record this show, so we're not doing it live when you hear us, but if you have questions for Mary Ellen, please email me at doris@savoryourself.org. So, Mary Ellen, is there any last-minute thing we have? You can have 30 seconds, and then I'm going to take 30 seconds to just wind up with Andrea's words. Anything remaining you need to say?
I think the only thing that I would say is I love the title, Savor Yourself, Daring to Go Beyond Skin Deep. I think that's what it's about. It's about being raw. Raw. It's about being real. It's about being authentic. And I think I think that's what it's all about. And I so appreciate what you're doing with all of this, Doris. And it truly is a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, dear friend. Thank you. Let us close with Andrea's opening words that instructed us to savor yourself, your softness, as hard as packed snow melting in the sun. Kiss the stars and hug yourself and sleep in the bosom of your own endless song. Until next week, remember to savor yourself.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
We appreciate you spending this hour with Doris Smeltzer and Savor Yourself. If you would like to learn more about eating disorder prevention, visit our site at andreasvoice.org. That's andreasvoice.org. And be sure to tune in next week for more valuable tips on how to dare to go beyond skin deep and to truly savor yourself. We'll see you next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Health and Wellness Channel.